Aloha, this is Catherine Cruz. Mahalo for joining us today. Hawaii Talks on The Conversation. Had enough of illegal aerials? Well, today we talk about the crackdown on illegal fireworks. 5 people died on New Year's Eve, some 24 seriously injured, including 6 who are being treated in a mainland burn center because we don't have enough beds in our burn center. Think about that. What's it going to take to change behavior? Tougher laws? Better enforcement? We have city and state law enforcement officers joining us for our roundtable talk this morning. We want to better understand what their challenges are. Why aren't more people being prosecuted? What else can we do to stop the fireworks from coming into our ports? Join us. Call in. Call 808-941-3689 on Oahu or 1-877-941-3689 on the neighbor islands.
Last time Japan sent troops to the Philippines, it was to invade during World War II. The Japanese government might be sending its military back there, except this time they've been invited. We explore the budding military alliance between two former enemies. And as always, the latest global news. Next time on The World.
Beginning this afternoon at 1.
Support for HPR comes from Nereid Hawaii, which supports nonprofits committed to helping formerly homeless families, individuals, and kupuna with supportive housing, such as the Institute for Human Services. NereidHawaii.com.
You're tuned to The Conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Today, fireworks enforcement is top of mind, and our guest in our studio this morning, Jordan Lowe, he's the director of the Department of Law Enforcement, the new Department of Law Enforcement. We have Honolulu Police Department Major Mike Lambert and Assistant Chief Calvin Tong, who is with Investigations. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I'm going to start out try something different this morning. I'm going to read a letter from one of our listeners. She writes, "Aloha, I live in Kaneohe in a normal residential neighborhood. My neighbors are wonderful, quiet, and respectful, except about fireworks. My neighborhood looked just like Aliomanu on New Year's Eve. Enormous, deafening, terrifying aerial fireworks on our tiny street. Too close to homes, cars, pets, and people. I am so tired of being terrorized by my otherwise thoughtful neighbors. I am too afraid to say anything for fear I might be targeted. I guess I'm not alone in feeling this way. It has to stop." I don't know where you gentlemen live, but your thoughts, Jordan, just on, you know, hearing this 911 call, this cry really for help.
Yes, we understand that, that is a recurring problem. One of the things that we're trying to do, first of all, with our Safer Watch app, where you can anonymously report any fireworks tips, and that is on our website at law.hawaii.gov. So people can report anonymously, and they can also post photos and videos, and that will come to our department, and we would try to timely follow up on it, given our resources.
Well, and how does that work? Because you're a state, agency. You're with the Fireworks Task Force, but then you've got the Honolulu Police Department, the folks that are out in the field.
People with complaints can just call 911, Catherine. And our officers, when they're sent the case, they'll go out to investigate. Unfortunately, when it comes to New Year's Eve and any other holidays, there's a lot of calls. So our officers will go to the cases, but if they're sent to a priority case, they're going to have to go to the priority cases first. But we encourage the residents to call 911 when they see the illegal fireworks going on, because everybody is entitled to a safe neighborhood to live in. People with animals, dogs, cats, they have to deal with that extra problem, and we feel for that. So we we encourage them, just keep calling 911. Officers will be sent, but unfortunately, if there's a priority case call, they'll be diverted to those.
And thank you for that, Chief Tong. And Major Lambert, I have to say, you know, you were on PBS Hawaii's Insights show about a year ago almost, and you actually forecast that we were going to have this tragic event happen, you know, we saw what happened in Liumanu with that explosion. But let's play that clip from the show.
We are probably one, you know, spark away from having a really bad incident within our community because they're being stored in residential areas. So I think, you know, learning from lessons in Lahaina where we thought that would never happen in Hawaii, I can tell you right now, from the tons and tons of fireworks that are coming in, it is inevitable that we are going to have a tragedy at some point in our history.
Yeah, and you know, when this happened on New Year's Eve, I mean, what were you thinking? What were your thoughts?
You know, it's definitely not one of those situations where I was like, I told you so. It was tragic. And I think that for me, looking at trends in the mainland, this has happened in the mainland. So what I like to do is I like to look at world issues. I look to look at national issues. And I say, could that translate here? And actually, houses that have been exploding in other states, when I looked at the conditions, the way the houses are built, the community, the cultural breakdown of the community, it is very similar to what we have here. You know, multicultural, you know, a lot of Asian culture, a lot of local culture that likes to pop fireworks. So, you know, for me, it's sometimes where, as law enforcement, we are the wet rag. Right, we're trying to tell everybody, don't do this, it's dangerous. You know, we're not the fun police, we're not the amusement police, we're public safety. So it is our job to worry about worst case scenarios. And now I think there's an awareness, and I think that we're in a good place to perhaps change some political perception, which won't be easy. But if there was ever a time to take a step back and to maybe run some type of poll, to really get a pulse of what people feel about fireworks. Because just like in the letter that was sent in, I want to know if that's the minority or the majority. I'm from Kaneohe. I live in Kapolei now. And when I asked my parents how was it, it's exactly like that letter, right? It's quiet neighborhood. They've lived on that street for 40 years. We know everybody by name. Neighbors down the street go to town on it. My parents don't want to call it in because there's the other 364 days of the year. That they don't want to feel awkward. So I totally get what's going on, and I just hope that we move in a new direction that's more aware.
Yes, and if you are just joining us, our guests in our studio are HPD Major Mike Lambert, who you just heard from, Assistant Chief Calvin Tong from HPD, and State Law Enforcement Director Jordan Lowe. And Jordan, you know, in this first year of the department's existence, I mean, your people have been able to stop a lot of fireworks from coming in. An impressive number.
That's correct. In 2023, we interdicted 187,000 pounds of fireworks coming into the state. In 2024, approximately 40,000 pounds. And it was a joint effort. You know, not only was it staffing from the Department of Law Enforcement, but also the Honolulu Police Department, the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, you know, and Homeland Security Investigations. So it was definitely a task force effort.
And, you know, I recall when the Coast Guard stopped that one container, and I asked them, do we know where it came from? Did it come from China? And they said it came from Long Beach. So explain to our listeners, you know, why that is.
So, you know, in the past, you know, there were probably more foreign shipments. But, you know, with Customs and Border Protection, their search authority is pretty vast. And, you know, fireworks is contraband. So people that smuggle fireworks in, they're going to adapt, you know, to the ways that they can get the product in. So, you know, once you start having seizures, you know, come directly from China, they're going to adapt, and they're going to realize, you know, that if they ship it to the mainland, U.S., then it comes in as a domestic shipment. And then the requirements to search a domestic shipment is different from foreign shipments.
So maybe a little less scrutiny, not so many eyes.
Correct.
Okay. We do have a call coming in. Claire from Maui, what's on your mind?
Aloha. Thank you so much, Catherine. This is so important. I'm a trauma therapist for Maui wildfire survivors. I'm working with little children who are scared to have birthday candles on their birthday cakes, and you can imagine the rest of what I'm helping people with. I love fireworks. I've been here 20 years. I love the culture, and I've been sitting in my street watching illegal aerials over my neighborhood go off for 6 hours or 2 days, and I loved it, but I decided after Honolulu and L.A. that I wanted to call for this conversation and ask for I have an idea. If we could have a really wiki short PSA that goes on all the radio stations with a hotline for each county that's anonymous, and because I know which neighbors are doing it every 6 months, illegal aerials every 6 months. I was hosing off my car and my house all night with huge flaming bits landing on them from aerials, and I want to help reduce it. And I thought if we had a PSA with a number, and people could call days before, days after, for sure anonymous, because I love my neighbors. I want to have good relation. I'm glad to hear there's anonymous ability. And, like, I want to call them today because it happened last week. And I just think we could reduce it a lot. I don't think we can eradicate it, but we might save lives by having a special number that's advertised for days.
All right. Well, that is a good idea. And thank you so much. You know, when you deal with people who have been with trauma, you know, thank you for what you do. I mean, I know I talked to a parent who said that, you know, I have a special needs child, and every time he hears a loud noise, he's inconsolable. And, you know, what do you do in that case? So, we just need to be more sensitive. But I don't know, Jordan. What about this idea? I mean, I know you have that app you talked about earlier.
Sure, and again, on our website, law.hawaii.gov, there is a phone number also that they can call to report. So and you know, I do also recommend that, you know, they contact their local police department also. In this case, in Maui.
Yeah, and Chief, I don't know, you know, how that all varies from county to county.
Well, in Honolulu, 911 would be the number to call. Report what you see. A lot of times, prosecution requires a witness, so that either the officer has to observe the violation, or one of the neighbors has to be able to either provide a video or actually give a statement and be a witness to the violation, and then we can take enforcement action.
Yeah, you know, I know that some folks are concerned because we don't see a lot of prosecutions, and we see a lot of fireworks, and they we get jaded, and they say, well, you know, people are looking the other way, and they're not going after these people. I mean, how do you respond to that?
You know, I think that it's a very fair observation, and I think that sometimes what happens is because we are responsible for everything, right? Speeding, drug use. A lot of it has to do with how we prioritize. And what we prioritize is, a lot of it is based on public sentiment. So in other words, if the community is going to allow it, and there's a lot of pushback, and we don't hear elected officials saying we want this done, it goes down the ladder. So a lot of our resources for New Year's Eve were put onto the freeway because we were concerned that people were going to pull onto the freeway and we were going to have a tragedy on the freeway. We thought that, you know, a car's going to speed by, people are pulled over, you're going to meet hundreds of people. So I think that the strategy at the time was to trying to look into the future was that was the public safety risk on New Year's Eve. So again, when you look at the priorities, and I think obviously we need to relook at it, I think that goes without saying, I think that in 2025, you're going to see much different enforcement numbers. There are some cumbersome language within the law, which we're hoping to work through this legislative session. I know that Director Lowe has some language. I have some language. And really what we want to do is make the language practical, easy to understand, so that both the officers can apply it and the community can understand what the standards are. It will take years to change the sentiment. It's going to take a lot of people to get arrested. It's going to take a lot of people to get fines. But it's just a matter of political will on the part of elected officials, because it may be unpopular.
Right.
And of course, it's going to be the grit of both state and county law enforcements to, again, prioritize what needs to happen during these holiday seasons.
Okay, well, we do have to take a break, but if you're just joining us, we're talking about fireworks enforcement. Call in at 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 from the Neighbor Islands.
Judith Boivin lost her life savings, $600,000. Thing is, she handed the money over herself.
He explained that they will roll down their back window on the passenger side and you will just get out when I tell you and put the money in the back.
Boivin is the victim of a highly sophisticated scam. We'll hear her story. That's on the next On Point.
Beginning this afternoon at 2.
Support for HPR comes from the Scheidler College of Business at UH Manoa with a virtual coffee hour for the Distance Learning Executive MBA and Master of HR Management, January 23rd. Scheidler.hawaii.edu/executive.
You're tuned to The Conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. We are talking about enforcement when it comes to illegal fireworks. We do have a call on the line. James from Honolulu, what's on your mind?
Hi, Catherine. Thanks very much. You know, I always think that if people were arrested and publicly prosecuted with some publicity of that situation, of their guilt and prosecution, that we might see a lot less illegal fireworks in the community, because word would spread quickly that there was a significant penalty and also a public problem with the situation. So my question is pretty straightforward to the police and to the state. How many arrests were made for fireworks violations this New Year's Eve, and are those cases being prosecuted? I'd just like to know what the number is.
Thank you for that. Who wants to take that question, Chief?
From the Honolulu Police Department side, there was only a few arrests for fireworks violations. Those cases were packaged and probably sent to the prosecutors by now. As far as the prosecution goes, then it falls on the prosecutor's office.
And then Jordan?
So we've actually had teams out since prior to July 4th, and we've cited approximately 14 individuals for illegally setting off fireworks. I'm aware that two have pled guilty. A couple have been dismissed, and then the rest are going through the process.
Okay, but it's a slow process.
It's a slow process.
You know, I mean, I don't know if, as far as the you know, the burden of proof, right? When you get these things to court, I mean, because we often hear police go out there and they make the arrest, but then the prosecutor's office, you know, says, "Oh, we don't have enough. It's not strong enough."
Right, and that's what we're trying to work through. And as Major Lambert indicated, you know, we might need to change language, you know, in HRS to achieve that.
Well, you know, we did have a fire chief, Sheldon Howe, on earlier in the week, and he talked about the attempt by the Honolulu City Council to bring back consumer fireworks. And we know that the mayor did veto that. But here's what he had to say about that bill.
Bill 22 came out, and we opposed that bill as for consumer fireworks. And the reason we did that is back in 2010, we had the ban for consumer fireworks. And based off of statistics alone, from a fire perspective, that we saw over a 60 to 70% decrease in fires alone. So that's something that our stance won't change. You know, our job is to keep the community safe. And so from our perspective, we'll continue to, our stance will not change. And in light of what happened in Lahaina, basically, it's an ignition source that started that fire in Lahaina. Now you're having fireworks. If you bring back consumer fireworks, it's my opinion that those fountains, those sparklers, those jumping jacks, ground flowers, they're going to be used by younger children. And so you have something that's going to be used with that younger generation. And that's why we feel that those numbers, the reason why those numbers in fire-related calls dropped since 2010, very significant. But as the proliferation of illegal fireworks has gotten increasing, then you see more of the injuries. Slight increase on the fire side, but more the injuries and the scope of the injuries that people are getting is increased.
Right. And then the fatalities, you know, the number of people who died. And there could still be more that won't survive that explosion there on Aliumanu. Any thoughts, you know, Chief or Major, just about the severity? I mean, I don't know what it was like when you got the call, because HFD and EMS, you know, kind of walked through when they got the first 911 calls. They didn't know that there were injuries involved. It was just fireworks came off and damaged my house kind of thing. But what was it like from the, you know, the command that night? I don't know.
So we weren't, I wasn't working that night, but I got a text that there was an explosion. So I logged into my computer and I was tracking the flow. I was trying to decide whether or not, you know, perhaps Narcotics Vice could lend bodies. But when I looked at the timelines, it wouldn't have changed. But I think that the officers out there, they're very courageous. I think that they fell back on their training to mass casualties. And I think that that saved as many lives as possible, because it's the triage that really increases someone's survivability. So I think that it was a noble effort, and I'm glad that we have that type of training. I didn't think that they would be applying it to a fireworks incident. You know, a lot of our alert training, which is what we call it, is meant for mass casualties and a school shooting. But because we train so heavily on that, the officers were able to apply it to this situation. So I didn't think that a lot of officers were impacted by, I think, watching the kids that were burned. So I hope that there's going to be some follow-up internally in the department to ensure those officers are supported.
Yeah, and, you know, we were told how the police had helped to set up the triage area and close down Salt Lake Boulevard, you know, because they couldn't get close to the house to really safely figure out who needed, you know, help first.
I think it was minutes before the call came for change from just fireworks injuries and damage to, like Major Lambert said, mass casualties. At that point, the command staff at the police department, I'm sure all of our cell phones were blowing up. Each bureau chief was trying to provide as much resources to the scene as possible, even peer support. Our specialized services division was called to recover unspent fireworks, unburned fireworks. So there was a lot of effort going into that that situation. We realized that it wasn't just a small incident. It was a big incident. So yes, we provided resources to block off Salt Lake Boulevard so that the EMS could get in and out with the burn victims. Fortunately, a lot of them were able to get to the hospitals on their own private vehicles. But my understanding is there was like 13 ambulances making 14 different trips. So, that, you know, that took a lot of coordination to make sure that they could get in and out safely and treat the victims.
Yeah, and, you know, we do have the half a dozen that are over there in Arizona. And I have to admit, you know, after we had our show on Tuesday, and with the chief and Dr. Ireland, you know, that night was when the firefighters had to deal with a fire and a fatal with one of their own, and then four injured firefighters. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, will there be any space in the burn unit if those firefighters are burned, if any of our first responders needed help? Yeah. And we're just stretched to, you know, it just tested our capacity. And Jordan, you know, I don't know, you folks said that you had some teams out. Was there anybody in Aliumanu that you know of?
No, they were on a different area of the city at the time. I think they were in the Waipahu area at the time.
And then were they, any of your team members help out in the Aliumanu incident at all?
No, because the Honolulu Police Department had the scene, and they were the primary jurisdiction investigators you know, my department later on the back end was helping on some inquiries.
You know, I know you were working with the lawmakers this session to craft something. We did talk to some key senators and representatives in the past, you know, week and a half. We did hear from Senator Glenn Wakai and about his concerns. Here's what he had to say.
I think we have to change the mindset of the community that, you know, this longstanding view of fireworks being entertainment has to come to an end. I mean, they talk about tradition. I mean, the tradition I'm aware of was just your red firecrackers that made a lot of noise, not anything that shot up into the air. But over time, those who, you know, sell aerials, I mean, it's really based on greed of having to stretch that notion of tradition so that they can sell their illicit goods.
We also talked to Senator Carl Rhodes, he's head of the Judiciary Committee, about, you know, what the lawmakers have been trying to do.
It's been high enough priority that we have passed several bills in the last few years, in addition to putting in, as I mentioned, over $1 million for specifically for illegal fireworks investigations. But that's it. You know, you need resources to fight, you need personnel, and you need money. I have to think that this tragedy will encourage people at all levels of government to take the issue more seriously.
And, you know, Jordan, you have been going through the budget process over there, and you have an ask, a wish list. Share with our listeners what that's all about.
Sure. What we had requested was to create a full-time explosive enforcement section within the Department of Law Enforcement. And what that would entail would be 6 full-time investigators, of course, one of them being the administrator of that program, 2 administrative help or assistance, and the creation of a forensic laboratory to help us analyze some of the explosive materials in the fireworks that we recovered, because that is an element for prosecution.
And what was the reception in the House and the Senate this week?
They were very receptive to it. They understand that in order for all of us to be able to combat this problem, that we have to commit the resources to it.
And you're trying to, you know, stand up in this new unit, but I know we've seen the headlines with the Honolulu Police Department. You know, you have your vacancy rate, you know, is very high. You're looking for officers. If you do get money, I don't know, are you going to be able to fill those slots?
I mean, we're definitely going to make a very earnest effort, you know, to fill these slots, because we need to. You know, the Department of Law Enforcement, you know, we can't do it alone, you know, and, you know, obviously we work with our partners, you know, in the Honolulu Police Department, the Fire Department, but, we will make every effort to fill it and make sure that even as we're going through this process of standing up this section, we're still going to continue our enforcement, you know, with the limited resources that we have.
And then, Major Lambert, what can you tell us about what you're working on with the lawmakers?
So for my ask of the legislature is, again, to simplify the law. Right now it's very bulky. It requires an identification of Title 49, which is the Federal Transportation Code. And that is how fireworks are defined. So the interpretation from our prosecutors is that we need to be able to establish the fireworks via that definition, and that's where it becomes cumbersome. Whenever you make a law cumbersome, it discourages your beat officers from giving tickets, because now there's an expectation that they would have to learn Title 49 of the Federal Transportation Code. And there's a lot of states where it's much simpler language. If it goes boom, pop, spark, whatever, that's a firework. And that's kind of the logic that I'm going to bring to the legislature this year, is to say, why are we overcomplicating a product that my 3-year-old or 4-year-old knows what it is? If I say, don't touch the fireworks, they know what I'm saying. So why are we as adults overcomplicating its description? One of the things that we want to push through with our friends at the prosecutor's office, once the law changes and once we get into court, is to put it on the defense. I'm saying this is a firework. You tell me what it is. And just like everything else, right, in time, once the law changes and once we get cases prosecuted, then what happens is that they'll stipulate to that. So just like with drug cases, nobody argues once the lab tested for drugs, that is over. All we're arguing in court is the legalities that led to that seizure. In other words, did you have probable cause? Did you investigate correctly? And they're going to stipulate that the drugs were the drugs. So that's just something that we need to build towards, something that we need to work towards. And it's all doable. Again, it's just going to take political will, just a little recrafting of the law to encourage law enforcement by making the law simpler to apply.
And I would imagine that you probably need help. So if the public wants to come out and support, you know, the different bills that come out when those hearings are posted, they should participate.
Absolutely. I think sometimes people forget that it's not just the ballot box that counts. It's every legislative session. If you can't make it out, now that they make it easy, you can Zoom in. There is electronic. You can go old school fashion, write a letter to your elected officials. And I really think that this is a key opportunity for us to know what does the silent majority say about fireworks? Because I think that will embolden the elected officials to come down hard. I think it's the silent majority doesn't like it. They don't like the fireworks. And I'm judging that based on my street, right? So when I looked at my street, I can see five houses in each direction, front and back. So let's just say 20 homes. Of the 20 homes, maybe six I could see from their backyard, and I'm sure a caller is going to say, why didn't I do anything? I'll address that in a different question. But when you take that as a, you know, kind of a visual level of support for it, I still think the silent majority doesn't care for it. And I really think that they need to make their voices heard so that the elected officials can feel that they're not going to lose office by taking on this very difficult issue.
We have a call, another caller from Maui. Larry, you have a question, comment?
Hi. Yes, I've always said that the police department or whoever is in charge of the bomb-sniffing dogs, that they should have the bomb-sniffing dogs sniff out the bombs that are in the containers that are offloaded in Honolulu before they come to the outer islands. And this way, you know, they're not at the airports anymore because they don't care about marijuana. But they are trained to sniff out, you know, explosives.
So okay. Who wants to take that, Major?
Yeah, so that is an excellent idea. The only downside is that the dogs, the sniffing dogs, right, they can only work for so long. So, or the dog, I'm not even joking, they actually overheat. Right, the dog will work so hard it has to take a break, and it can only sniff, you know, half an hour at a time. So if you were to make a meaningful, to have that be a meaningful unit, you're talking about 30 dogs at least working, right? Because one dog is going to rest, another dog is going to go up, and you'd have maybe five working at a time to make a difference. Those dogs are very expensive. And you would have to have specialty handlers for them. It is an excellent idea. Thank you, caller. But then now you have to get into what is the practicalness of that. I think there's a lot of technology. Screening technology is extremely expensive. I think Director Lowe may want to share about that. His idea is great. Again, it's going to be a funding challenge.
Jordan?
Correct. And as Major Lambert said, most of the explosive detection dogs can work only 20 minutes at a time, you know, before they have to take a break. And, you know, the other thing that we have to look at is if we're pulling containers to run the dogs through them or by them, you're going to impede commerce. Then you're going to slow down all of the containers coming off the ships, which is going to increase costs to the consumer, you know, for the products when they hit the shelf. So that's one thing that we need to take into consideration. And yes, there's technology out there that can expedite things, but again, very costly.
All right.
Very costly.
Well, this is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. We've been hearing from State Law Enforcement Director Jordan Lowe, HPD Major Mike Lambert, and Assistant Chief Calvin Tong. You can join the conversation by calling 1-877-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back right after a break.
Let's face it, life gets busy, but you don't want to miss out. HPR makes it easy to stay connected. Introducing the Akamai Recap. It's a quick roundup of local news stories sent to your inbox every weekday afternoon. It's free, and it takes just 10 seconds to sign up. Visit hawaiipublicradio.org/akamai.
Hey there, it's Sabrina Tavernisi, host of The Daily. Join us for an in-depth look at the world's biggest stories as they happen. Catch The Daily, Monday through Thursday evenings at 6:30, here on HPR One.
You're back with the conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. We've been talking about illegal fireworks, how they get in, and how there just seems to be so much more of it every year. We do have a caller from on the line from Honolulu. Stephen, do you have a question?
Yes. My comment is that we're looking at it from a user or end user situation, but I'm thinking about it in terms of supply and demand. It's also a supply thing. So and it takes money to get a shipping container and ship it over. And so, and then on the other side, I know influential people who have circulated price lists of these things as sellers. So I think the question is, how are we looking at it on a who situation? Who's bringing it in? Who's selling it? And I think it has to do with some, to it, influence and power. And it's a hard thing to look at, but I wonder if anybody's looking at the end of it.
Thank you for that question. Who wants to take that?
Yeah, so, you know, I know he was trying to be very delicate with that question, and I appreciate it. I'm not a fan. And the reality is this. Is it possible that it is elected officials? Is it possible that it's officers? Absolutely, it is. I can tell you right now, if it's an officer with the Honolulu Police Department, if you turn them in and provide evidence, they could be terminated. It would be considered a criminal act. In reality, it may just result in a bunch of suspension days, but nonetheless, it's something that we would take extremely seriously, because officers that are selling fireworks particularly, actually, you'd probably get fired for selling. Officers that light fireworks would probably get suspended. It impacts public safety. It impacts public perception in regards to, it must be okay because the cops are doing it. So if that is the case, we encourage people to go ahead and notify our professional standards office and go ahead and let them know what evidence they have. Now, in regards to should an investigation lead up to an influential person, in my eyes, there's no difference. I don't care if you're a Joe Schmo or if you're whatever fancy public title. If our investigation leads back to you, and I'm sure Director Lowe feels the same, that we will prosecute you and we will make an example. It is an extreme, it is a supply and demand. And the only way that you can reduce demand is to change public sentiment. And that is a huge boat to turn around. Now, you know, HPD, DLE, you know, all these are really strong federal partners. We can reduce supply, but if the demand exists, just like with drugs, somebody is willing to take that risk. So what we have to do is make sure it's such a high penalty, it's not worth it.
He mentioned, our caller mentioned a flyer, and my friend called me up last night and said, oh, ask about, you know, then this is all third hand, but on the Big Island, that there were actually flyers circulating with the type of fireworks and the price and, you know, and a phone number or something. So what can you tell us about situations like that on the neighbor islands?
Sure. There's price lists out on all of the islands on what's available for sale. The profit margin on these containers coming in is like 5 to 1, which is what's driving you know, the supply. But again, you know, Major Lambert's correct. If you reduce the demand, you know, then you're going to probably reduce the supply because they can't sell their product.
We've got to change that mindset.
We have to change that mindset.
Okay. We have another call in. Nick, what's your question?
Hi. Hi. So I was just curious about this, and I don't know if maybe somebody had already brought it up, but just having to do with the enforcement. I know that one of the big problems is, you know, when people do shoot off these illegal aerials is actually, you know, catching people in the act of doing it. You know, it's kind of difficult, and people, neighbors don't want to call in on their neighbors. And I was wondering if any of the counties or any of the law enforcement agencies have perhaps considered, and this might not be a popular idea with residents, but what about using, maybe strategically using drones with cameras and just putting them up in certain, you know, problem areas, and maybe just putting out like an announcement to the public just saying, hey, law enforcement is going to use, you know, drones with cameras, and, you know, people don't know where they're going to be at. It might kind of make people think twice about using it. If you can enforce it that way and kind of pinpoint where somebody's shooting off these illegal aerials with the aid of a drone with a camera, could that possibly be a way to either deter or sort of better enforce the laws?
All right. Thank you for that. Did we have any drones up?
So right now, the Department of Law Enforcement, we're evaluating the use of drones to see whether we can deploy them to try to identify individuals that are setting off fireworks.
Okay. Well, you know, our phone lines are very busy. If you have not been able to get in, we invite you to call our talkback line and record something, and we can follow up and use it on another show. But thank you for your patience if you've been trying to get in the queue. We have had a number of people email. I know what we've got one from Anne wondering why we don't hear more about people that built and setting off the New Year's fireworks in Salt Lake. Are they being charged? Are they in line for murder charges? I mean, I don't know. Chief, want to address that?
The Salt Lake incident is definitely under investigation. Our homicide detail is looking into it because there were deaths involved. And at the end of the day, there'll probably be manslaughter or negligent injury cases, criminal cases being brought against people who are involved. But it's going to be a long process. The investigators will have to come up with evidence and videos that can actually depict the individual committing the criminal violation.
You know, one thing that the fire chief mentioned on the show earlier this week was that they came across a van that was full of fireworks that was there on the street. Do we know what happened in that case? Was the person arrested, or chief?
If there was a van, I'm not going to confirm or deny it, that contained fireworks, it was probably seized as evidence. And that would be the investigation to determine whose van it was, and who, if we could actually find out who put the fireworks in there. Then we can go after that person criminally.
Yes, because, you know, that came out in a discussion about first responders. When you go to a scene, go to a fire, and you don't know if the house that you're trying to put the fire out has ammunition, and then you're in harm's way. I mean, what happened when we had the two officers shot on Hibiscus Drive, mm-hmm. You know, I was there. I heard the ammunition going off. Mm-hmm. We saw the fire spread because it was a threat to our first responders. They could not go in and safely put out that fire. So it could happen to police, you know, our sheriffs, our firemen.
Fortunately, at the Salt Lake incident, the fireworks had already been depleted. So the first responders weren't in any danger of fireworks going off on them. But yes, you are correct. That's always a possibility and a danger that we have to deal with.
And Jordan, you know, I know, I think it was in the hearings this week where you told lawmakers that we get a lot of fireworks coming in by airplane. That's kind of a scary thought.
That's correct. And, you know, in working with the United States Postal Service Inspection Service, they recover fireworks frequently from mail parcels that come in.
Right. So those big cargo planes, whether they're Amazon packages or UPS, I mean, chances are they're in that plane.
Correct.
So how do we deal with that? with the dogs? I mean, I don't know.
So you know, we do intercept and recover those packages. And again, you know, fireworks is contraband. So, you know, we would follow our, you know, normal investigative procedures on how to try to identify who sent it, who is supposed to be the recipient, and whether the actual person listed on the parcel is the person that's actually receiving the fireworks.
We have another question written in by one of our listeners. Jason says, is it illegal to possess illegal fireworks? Do police have to catch the person in the act of setting off the fireworks? Can they search with suspicion?
So all rules of evidence apply as if it was any other type of investigation. But yes, being in possession, as long as you can prove you're in possession, then we can definitely open an investigation on you. Just like again, everything else, right? One of the things that I'm trying to push for in this next legislative session is for constructive possession, where we could just easily cite. So for example, the issue is a lot of times when I remember I was in patrol all those years back, is that really what you see when you turn down the street is somebody running off and then something goes off, right? I didn't see them light it. But again, if the law was written to allow for constructive possession, I could go ahead and cite based on my observations that they were near it, right? It went off and all I got to see them was to walk off. Currently, that observation would not be something that we could prosecute.
Okay. We have another anonymous listener, says that please have your guests talk more about the local culture of don't snitch or snitches get stitches, and how that relates to suspicion of authority generally. So many people flout the law with protest and sympathy with sovereignty issues. Anyway, but this bad attitude endangers all of our well-being and rights of property owners. Anybody want to comment?
Yeah, no, it's tough. And I've been tackling a lot of issues, right? You know, game rooms, guns, I mean, you name it. And that is always the sentiment, right? And that's why we have Crime Stoppers, the DLE has their hotlines, we have the narco tip line. So you don't have to put yourself out there. And I can tell you guys right now that if you call the narco hotline, 723-3933, or Crime Stoppers, we can get you that number later, that you will not be outed. You know, I know that's tough to do. One of the things has to do with just building relationships with the community. So if they maybe go to public events and they can go ahead and meet with their local CPT officers and build a relationship of trust, then they can go and do that. For me, like out in Waianae, it took me a year to build trust with that community, and now I get tips all the time. They want to give them directly to me, and it gets a lot sometimes, but sometimes you have to just get out there and work with the community. So I think that if they're really interested in sharing those tips, maybe come out to a community event, meet face-to-face with an officer, and if they feel good about it, go ahead and give them that tip.
Okay, we've got time for one more phone call. Kanara from Maui. What's on your mind?
Hi, aloha. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of comments. One, I agree the silent majority is against the fireworks. And here on Maui, I've signed a petition on the neighborhood app. I think that there are people that are definitely spreading the word and trying to get this changed. And my question is a couple of questions. How far in advance does the department start searching for fireworks? It's become earlier and earlier here. It's before Christmas. These bombs are going off here in Pukualani and around Maui. And a second question, are there searches being done on Maui? I don't know if you can answer that because it's an Oahu-based program, but perhaps you can. And thirdly, perhaps some of that proposed money could be used to train the dogs. I know it's expensive. I appreciate somebody addressing that because that was one of my comments or thoughts.
Thank you for that. Who wants to take any of those questions? Jordan, maybe just a general neighbor island?
Sure. So in terms of containers, normally they do come into Honolulu first before they get transshipped to Maui. And we've actually interdicted containers that were destined for Maui containing fireworks in 2023. In terms of the timeliness on our efforts, we look at all shipments year round, that includes the parcels coming through the mail and the containers if we have information that one is coming in.
Okay.
So in regards to her, I want to thank her for being proactive in her community, and I hope that somebody here in Honolulu does the same. So I appreciate that. That's what we need to hear. The biggest thing, I don't care what the issue is, fireworks, whatever, firearms, game rooms, it's the support of the community that empowers the officers to do their job, meaning that when they make it a big deal, we can really start to push on probable cause. We can really start to leverage criminal cases because those people, judiciary, everybody involved is going to say, we need to start making an example. So again, kudos to her. I hope they can get a lot of people. Hopefully someone here listening in Honolulu wants to do something similar, because this is the time for everybody to say we're over it. And we need to have, I think if we were able to get even 50 to 60,000 people in Honolulu to sign a similar petition, I think that that would show where we are.
All right. Well, any final thoughts, Chief?
As far as the police department is concerned, we can't do all our enforcement in a silo. We need the help of the public, like Major Lambert said. We need the eyes and ears out there. If any of you listeners have information that could lead to an investigation, call Crime Stoppers. Everything's anonymous, 808-955-8300. And I wanted to add, if one of your emails claims police corruption, like Major Lambert said, we definitely do not tolerate corrupt officers. We will investigate. Professional Standards Office will investigate, and their number is 808-723-3775. Call us, let us know. We don't know what we don't know, so we can use all the help that we can get.
Okay, and Jordan, any final thoughts for you?
Yes, again, you know, law enforcement cannot do it by ourselves. You know, we do need the community's help. You know, we need help from the lawmakers. And our tip line, Department of Law Enforcement's tip line, is 808-517-2182.
Okay, and we'll have those numbers also on our website later today. Final thoughts. You got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, guys. Sorry, go ahead.
Amnesty program.
Oh, yes.
Amnesty program, Saturday. There's a flyer going around. I think it's on our department website, honolulupd.org, as well as the state site. My last final thoughts, I just want to thank you guys for bringing awareness. I really encourage the community to get involved this year, and I hope that we don't lose steam, because this could happen to any family. Now, in this case, it may have been the people that are popping. Next time, it may be the people across the street that weren't minding their own business. So we need to continue this effort, come together, and make sure that we do not let this tragedy not create change.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank our guests, HPD Major Mike Lambert, Assistant Chief Calvin Tong, and State Enforcement Director Jordan Lowe. What do you think about what you heard today? More questions, comments? What's it like on your island during New Year's? Call our talkback line. Record something. 808-792-8217. And don't forget the take back for Amnesty Day for fireworks at the Aloha Stadium from 9 to 3. Put pressure. If you know anybody with fireworks, have them turn it in. Keep our community safe. That's it. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us again for the conversation tomorrow.